You turn back to Numbers chapter 10. Now tonight we're going to observe the Lord's table together. And if I'm a believer, I ought to be there to observe the Lord's table. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." He didn't say, "This absent yourself," but "This do in the remembrance of me." I've entitled this message, "Come with us. We will do the good." Come with us. We will do the good. Now, let me say this by way of introduction. The gospel is exclusive. The gospel is inclusive. It's both of those things. And it's very important that we understand both of those things. The gospel of this book is exclusive. It excludes all other ways. The gospel is inclusive. It brings people in. Now, what do I mean, or what does the Bible mean, more importantly, about this thing of the exclusivity of the gospel? Well, look what Moses said in verse 29. "And Moses said unto Hobab, his brother-in-law, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel." He didn't say he's spoken good concerning the whole world, all men without exception. He didn't say that at all, did he? He said, "The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel." Now, who is Israel? Israel represents the elect. Let me show you that. Physical Israel represents spiritual Israel. Now, what is meant by that? Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Verse 6. "It's not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, just natural-born Israelites, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, God's promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand." And here's God's purpose that excludes every other. "Salvation is not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved." This is what God says. "Jacob have I loved. But Esau," God says, "I have hated." Well, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Is God unfair? That's the natural man's response. Maybe you were thinking that when you read that. Is God unfair? "God forbid, for he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, that exerts himself. That's excluded. But of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardens. It's exclusive, isn't it? Now, that being said, the gospel is so inclusive. It's seen in the word whosoever. Whosoever. That means you. That means me. You can't say I'm shut out. Whosoever. Are you whosoever? How do you answer to that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. God has never turned away a sinner who came to him for mercy. Now you can just write that down. If God doesn't give you mercy, it's because you didn't want it. God has never turned any sinner away who came to him for mercy. And if you come for mercy, you shall have it. Now these were Moses' words to his brother-in-law. I guess he'd known him for at least 40 years. They had hung out in the desert watching the sheep. Remember, he left Egypt when he was 40, and this is the time when they're leaving Egypt. And he's known this man for at least 40 years. I suppose they were friends. And he says to him, "We are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I'll give it you. Come thou with us." Now, he wasn't an Israelite, but Moses still says, "Come thou with us." You see, the salvation of Gentiles like me and you have always been God's purpose. Come now with us. We will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Now, Moses begins with what God said. Come with us because the Lord said. The Lord has spoken. That's our appeal. Our appeal is with what God has said. The Lord said we're going to the place the Lord said, I'll give it to you. The Lord said that. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Now we're beginning with what the Lord said. That's where we've got to begin. Now, we're not beginning with what the Lord told me to tell you. Like I've got some kind of special communication from the Lord and I'm here to give it to you. You know what that is? That's a cult leader. That's all that is. God's given me this special message and now I'm going to give it to you. You're not going to hear it without me. That's what cult leaders say. So we're not talking about some special message communicated to me that you won't hear unless I give it to you. No, we're talking about what the Lord said. You can read about it for yourself in His Word. Now, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed every word. God breathed. The scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Every word God breathed. That book you have in your lap is God breathed. If God can create the universe, If God can make a way to be just and justify the ungodly, then God can inspire a book and keep it preserved throughout the centuries, the very Word of God. Now, this is Moses' appeal to his brother-in-law. God said this. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. That's our appeal, isn't it? The Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. I love the way Moses says, we're going on a journey. We're going on a journey. Now, at the time, he didn't know it was going to be a 40-year journey. He didn't find that out until the 14th chapter. He thought it was going to be a short journey, but he said, we're going on a journey. And here's where we're going. You know, this is, I think, is kind of interesting. This is kind of used in religion, this thing of being, we're going on a journey. Go with us. We're going to have a good time. You know, kind of an appeal to the flesh. That church across the street says, your journey begins here. I hope not. But the appeal, though, of this journey. We're going on a journey to a place that's a lot better than anything here. It's the place where the Lord said, I'll give it thee. That's the journey we're going on. A journey. You know, this world really is not our home, is it? We're passing through. We're passing through. It's going to be over soon. But we're going on a journey where the Lord said, I'll give it to you. Now, this journey, this place we're going, is better than anything this world has to offer. It's better. I don't care what you get out of this world, this is better. Anything you get with this world will end up being unsatisfactory. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's what the Lord said. And this place we're going is a whole lot better, infinitely better. There's pleasure in this that the world knows nothing of. This thing of seeing the glory of Christ and resting in Christ and being found in Him and having His righteousness and having His presence. There's nothing that the world has that can be compared to this. We're going on a journey where the Lord said, I will give it you. Now let's think just a moment. He says, we are journeying unto the place. And that word place carries with it the idea of a wide open space. Liberty. Liberty. Don't you want liberty? Freedom? Oh, this is free. This is not confining. This is absolute freedom. You're debt free and you get to do what you want to in this place. It's free. And notice he calls it, we're going to the place where the Lord said, I will give it thee. Now let's think of the power of the Lord to give. If I say I'll give you something, well, hopefully I will. I might end up lacking the power to do it. I might not be able to do it. I might forget about it. And really, what I give isn't much of a big deal anyway. Anything I can give you, somebody else can give you something better. You know that. But we're talking about Him who has power to give. You remember when the Lord said, if you then, being evil. Anybody, is He talking to me? Yep. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? Now think of His power to give. First of all, He can do it by grace. You don't have to measure up. I don't deserve God's gifts. You're right about that, but that doesn't have anything to do with Him giving them. He does so freely. And He's all powerful. He's absolutely sovereign. His will is always done. If He wills to give you a gift, you're going to have it. You know, His gifts are such that He's already given them. Whatever you have now, whatever He gives you now, you've always had in His mind. He saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which were, what? Given us. In Christ Jesus. Before the world began. Now, He gave Himself for our sins. He said, "My peace I give unto you." Now, don't think of the peace He has with His Father. He knows when the Father looks at Him, the Father's altogether pleased with Him. And He gets such peace from that. He gets such peace from His righteousness, from His perfect obedience, from His sinlessness, from the efficacy of what He did. Oh, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "My peace I give unto you." He said, "The glory that Thou gavest Me, I have given them." What gifts He has to give. "Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I give shall never thirst." You know what that means? That means in Christ Jesus, you look to Him and you're not going to be looking for anything else. You know, when someone says that there's got to be something else, well, you've never seen Him in the first place. If you ever drink of this fountain, you're going to find complete satisfaction in being saved by Him only, and you're not going to be looking for anything else. He's the only satisfying one in the world. You won't thirst again in drinking of Him. "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior to give repentance." You want that gift? To have your mind changed? "And the forgiveness of sins." What a gift to have my sins all forgiven. And I can only think of my sins as forgiven sins, blotted out sins, canceled sins. What a gift. He said, "No man can come to Me except it were given to him of My Father." Now there's a gift, isn't it? To be given the grace to come to Christ to find everything. Everything in the gospel He gives. And everything that He requires of me, He gives freely by His grace. "Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." I mean, I'm given the victory. I'm given the victory. To where it's my victory? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, "I will give to him that's of the thirst the water of life freely. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?" Are you interested in what he gives? I am. Oh, we're on a journey to the place where the Lord said, "I'll give it thee." I'm interested in that. I want to go on this journey. Now look what Moses says. Oh, may the Lord, the Spirit, make this real to each one of us. He says in verse 29, "We're journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you." Not, "I will give it you if..." I will. That's the way God's gifts work. I will. Not, "I will if." I will. "I will and you shall." That's the gift of God. Now look what he says to Hodad. "Come with us. Come with us." we will do thee good. Come with us. Now listen to me real carefully. The message of the gospel is come. Right now, just as you are. Not waiting to get better. Not waiting for some kind of experience that makes you think you're now fit to come. The message of the gospel is come. Come with us. We will do the good. Now remember, Hodab was not an Israelite. Moses wanted him to come though, didn't he? Come with us. And you know, that is our message. Come with us. Not go away. Not get better. Not wait till something happens that'll make you fit to come. Not wait till you learn more. Not wait till you have more victory over sin. Right now, come with us. We will do you good. You come with us, it'll be good for you. It'll be the best thing you can possibly do in life. Nothing is as important as this. Come with us. Don't stay away. Come with us. You can gain all this world has to offer, and you'll find it all to be vanity, vexation of spirit, and unsatisfying. Now you will. Come with us. Come with us. We're journeying to the place the Lord said, I'll give it you. Come with us. We will do thee good. And look what it says. For, here's why. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Now here's our appeal. Here's why we say come with us. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Now who is Israel? Well, you'll remember from Genesis chapter 32, Israel was Jacob. And God changed his name to Israel. As a prince, you have power with God and prevail. Jacob, this sinful man, this cheat, this deceitful man. That's what he was. You look at throughout the history of this man, he was a deceiver. You remember the way he deceived his own brother to get the birthright and to get the blessing? I mean, he was a deceptive man. There's nothing that you can say about this man that is good, really. But he belonged to the Lord. And God said, Jacob have I loved. And he gave him a new name. Your name is Israel. And I think it's interesting. Throughout the scripture, he keeps calling Jacob and Israel. Jacob's the old man. Israel's the new man, isn't he? Jacob and Israel. And he's addressed as both. Jacob and Israel. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. I'm going to read you some scriptures. Thou shalt not curse the people, speaking of Israel, for they are blessed. How can I curse whom God hath not cursed? Lo, the people dwell alone, speaking of Israel, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. They will not be looked upon as the enemies of God. Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. Speaking of Israel, I want to die their death. And let my last end be like his, perfect conformity to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is spoken of God. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. How would you like to be in that position where God doesn't behold iniquity in you? He hath not seen perverseness in Israel. Well, that's where I want to be. I want to be where God sees me as without iniquity, without perverseness. The Lord God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. And I know what that shout is. It is finished. What a shout from the king that is with Israel. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, the tabernacle of Israel. It shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought?
We know we're the work of God. We know our salvation is utterly the work of God.
Israel represents the whole company of God's elect. Those that Christ lived for, those that Christ died for, those that Christ was raised for. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Now, listen real carefully. What's the mark of an Israelite? How can I know if Christ came to save me? How can I know if Christ doesn't behold iniquity in me and has not seen perverseness in me? There's one identifying mark. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If I am a sinner, all I do is sin. I cannot not sin. Now, I'm not talking about the way I used to be. I have nobody to blame but myself for my sin. It's all my fault. I can't sit in judgment on any son of Adam for anything because of my sin. My sin. And I've got no claims on God. That's who Christ came to save. Well, that's not me. Sorry. Sorry. You're in a bad place. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Come with us. Come with us. We will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. How good? Look in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, that's a place I want to be. I want to be in a place where everything's working together for my good, don't you? All things. That covers all things. The bad stuff, the good stuff, the indifferent stuff. All things. The painful things, all things. Work together, not separately. The sovereign God is in control of them all. Whatever He does is right. All things. Work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now you see the exclusivity there. All things don't work good for everybody, but they do for those who love Him, for those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, forelove, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Don't you want to be going to that place? Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Don't miss that. If you're justified, that means you have no sin. That means you have no guilt. That means you're righteous before God by what Christ did. Whom He justified, this is how complete it is. He glorified. This is how sure. Already glorified. Oh, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, now that's a good place to be, isn't it, to have God for you? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now listen here. In Christ, there's nothing that can prevent God from giving you everything. You can't mess it up. You can't mess it up. There's nothing you can do that would prevent God from freely giving you all things, because He's already given His Son. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nothing can be laid to your charge. It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? You can't be condemned. How come? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the place we're going. That's a good place, isn't it? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Come with us. Come with us. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Now, the gospel is exclusive. Christ said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. That excludes all other ways. Salvation is for Israel. It's for His elect. That's exclusive. It's for anybody who wants mercy. Now look in Revelation 22, verse 17. Here is the message of the Spirit, and here is the message of the bride, the church. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, the Lord said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, the exclusiveness of that is seen in all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's exclusive. But how inclusive is this? Him that cometh to me, I will for no reason whatsoever cast out. You come, you will be received. You will be. This is the message. Come, not go and do, not go and make yourself fit, not go and improve yourself, not go and wait till you become better. Come right now as you are to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture. These are the words of our Lord. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The Lord is so approachable. You won't be turned away. He says, I'm meek. I'm lowly of heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. My burden, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Now, if salvation by what you do is an unbearable burden to you, if salvation by works is an unbearable burden to you, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will receive you, and the fact that you come means He's already received you. Let's go on reading. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. That's the message I'm to give. Let him that heareth what the Spirit and the bride say, let him say the same thing. Come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There's only one condition you have to meet. You don't have anything to bring. And you must receive it freely if you receive it at all. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Come. Are you a sheep gone astray? You know, sheep do that. Come. Are you an unbeliever? That's all the more reason. Come. This is a command. This is not good advice. You know, I guess in some respects it sounds like an invitation, but it's not an invitation. You see, the thing about an invitation is if you reject it, it's not necessarily wrong. But if it's a command, you're commanded to come. Moses looks at his brother-in-law, Hodab, and he says, we're on a journey where the Lord said, I'll give it to you. Come with us. We'll do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good. This is the good. It's not what we do. It's what the Lord does. The Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. May the Lord give us grace to come. But now turn back to our text. This is what I'm closing with. I want us to look at Hodab's response. Verse 30. And he said unto him, I'll not go. Not interested. I'll not go. But I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. He heard this glorious message and he said, nah, not interested. What about me? What about you? Well, there was a man that came up to the Apostle Paul, the Philippian jailer, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, he didn't say, what must I do to save myself? He already knew that was out of the question. What must I do to be saved? And here, Paul's answer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Rely on Jesus Christ only as all that is needed and all that's required for you to be saved, and you shall be saved. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you will enable us to come to thy Son. Lord, say to each heart here, come with us. The Spirit's message, the bride's message. Lord, how we thank you that you've spoken good concerning Israel. Bless this message for your glory and for our good. And Lord, work your work. Lord, we know that salvation is of thee. And we wait upon thee to do your work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.